This is a repeat program. Heard previously.
The rowdies one here, the rowdies one there, they kick the ball around. The rowdies one here, the rowdies one there, then they fall on the ground. Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are the pig in the grass.
Here's another reason why WYSL is your sports leader. Now, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, Rochester Lancers trainer and Wall of Famer, Joe Redcard Sirianni. WYSL sports director and Rochester Lancers historian, Andrew Battisti. The editor of FrontRowSoccer.com, Rochester Lancers reporter and Lancers Wall of Famer, Michael Lewis. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo, Family Dentistry, and brought to you by the following sponsors: Flower City Union and Flower City 1872, the Rochester Lancers, Top-Notch Monogramming, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Polano & Company, Italian American Sports Club of Rochester, Opera Bracelets, Faber Builders and Claridge Decorating Center, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Pet Mom Jewelry, and St. Padre Pio Chapel. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Hope you had fun watching the non-eclipse in Rochester. But anyway, we're here to talk soccer, not eclipses. And the Rochester Lancers have finished off a tremendous season in MASL2. They won their first 14 matches before dropping an 8-3 decision to the unbeaten as well Iowa Demon Hawks in the championship match. The team's traveling back from Kansas right now, but we do have two special guests on the show to talk about the match and about the season. We'll have Soccer Sam, the owner of the Rochester Lancers, joining us in just a moment, and then we'll have MASL2 Commissioner Chris Economides at 7 o'clock. FrontRowSoccer.com's Michael Lewis will also chime in on the Lancers, MLS, U.S. Women's National Team looking for another She Believes Cup on Tuesday night in Columbus, Ohio against Canada, and the CONCACAF Champions Cup quarterfinal leg two. Doesn't look too good for the American team, so we'll talk about that with Michael. And we'll also preview the UEFA Champions League quarterfinal first legs as well. But let's bring in Joe Sirianni, who's back with us for the whole show. How's it going, Joe?
Well, I'm a little bit disappointed because I didn't get to watch the eclipse, and the clouds and didn't do me no favor. But just like you said, I watched on television, and all of my expectation to be able to, you know, to see what was promised, aside of the fact that everything got dark. And the lights and outside went on. That was the experience that I had. But I don't know that it's going to be around for next time when it comes around again. But in all fairness, I think that the TV people did a great job in promoting and describing and showing the eclipse. So, but just like you said, we're going to talk soccer. And on the onset, I want to say that I want to thank our sponsors, one of which is going to be talking shortly. I want to thank the Italian Medical Sports Club for renewing, and I'm looking forward to talk to Mr. Lindo DeFrancesco to be able to see if he wants to continue sponsoring our show. But when we talk about soccer, when we talk about someone who is committed, you know, to promote the game and to assume the responsibility of paying players and playing, bus fare, airplane ticket, and all the things that feed the players, there is none other than the gentleman and the friends that we're going to talk to shortly. And I just want to compliment them in the job that they did. They didn't win the final game, but look how far they went. And it took a lot of effort. And really, I want to compliment his crew, because those two ladies really make everything happening. The same as just the guy that assumed, you know, the peril, I guess. So,
well,
so
we can,
with further ado, let's just bring him on.
Yep, we're going to do that in just a moment. I just want to just mention, if you have a business in Rochester, or if you're listening outside of Rochester and you have a business that's national, has to do with soccer, even if it doesn't have to do with soccer, we'd love to have you join the Soccer is a Kick in the Grass family. You can call Joe Sirianni at 414-5122 if you're interested, and he'll give you all the details. But let's bring in our first guest tonight. He is the owner of the Rochester Lancers and the purveyor of Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, which is now located in two states, and soon, I believe, based on what Chris Economides said over the weekend, it may be a third state coming pretty soon. We'll talk about that with Soccer Sam Fantuzzo. His appearance brought to you by the Rochester Lancers. You can get your 2025 season tickets by going to rlancers.com. You don't want to miss out on this very exciting and very, very important part of the Rochester sports community. So, again, rlancers.com. Sam, it's been a long time. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Andrew and Joe. And Joe, thanks for all the nice words. Kayla does do all the work and makes it happen. And I just go along for the ride. But it was an amazing weekend. You know, it should have been probably the Final Four with two games, you know, and I think our players would have performed better. But three games back-to-back is very difficult. And on a big field like that, but I'm so proud of our guys. I just want Joe to know that I was hoping to win the championship, not only for our guys of this year, but for all the guys that kind of wore the Lancer colors since 1967. I thought this is it. This is going to be the year. And you know, not that we underestimated the Demon Hawks, but you know, the Demon Hawks don't really represent on what M2 is supposed to be, and that Demon Hawk team should be in the MASL 1 playoffs tonight instead of a lot of teams that are in the playoffs. That's how good they are, but we kept them to less than 10 goals, and we kept them in three of the eight goals were, you know, basically we pulled a goalie, and so they didn't have a lot of good looks at net, and I think we could have won that game with a couple lucky bounces. But bottom line is, you know, undefeated season, huge. Jake Schindler, second Lancer coach in history other than Sal DeRozan to win Coach of the Year. So I'm happy about that, and I want to thank you guys for all your support since day one.
Well, thank you, Sam. Thank you for putting this team out in the Rochester sports community. I mean, you brought the team back last year, and now we're still going strong this year. And I don't want to minimize what the team did in the first two games of the playoffs. You guys dominated the Iowa Raptors, the team that knocked us out last year. It was 6-0 before Iowa finally scored a goal in the fourth quarter, and Lancers were really sitting back, I think, conserving their energy. But then that semifinal game against Wichita, Chris Economides was saying that it may have been the best indoor soccer match he'd ever seen. And that, I know, I'm sure it took a lot out of the players. There was a lot of emotion there and a lot of physicality. We lost Conrad Zitowitz. And I know a number of the other guys had bumps and bruises. I mean, Andrew Hoxie only played the second half of the championship game, and he was a big factor against Wichita. So how did you see the entire weekend of play for the Lancers across the three games?
Well, I think game two, like you said, against the Wichita Wings, probably the greatest M2, you know, a true M2 game in the history of the sport. In my opinion, that was a championship game. We really won the championship against an M2 team. But we did have injuries, and I'm sure the other teams probably had the same issues. But, you know, we lost three key guys. I mean, Tanner Bay, he was playing injured, and he didn't know if he was going to go. And I kind of teased him about his father, John Bay, who I've known all my life. I said, hey, your dad would be playing with a broken leg. You better play tonight. And I think it motivated him to just wrap up and he played, but he was really in pain with his foot, and he made it happen. And Ali Alomari was injured and still played. And you know, so you got your two key guys that score a lot of goals for you injured. Andrew Hoxie, the guy that you brought in to kind of give them a little relief, kind of got injured. And Conrad, you know, obviously that hurt us. He's a big factor. But what's cool about all this, Andrew, is we do it to help develop players. Tonight, the MASL semifinal playoffs are the playoffs aren't enforced. There's so many players on each team last night, Will the Wall Benihani won for the Milwaukee Wave. Ben Raymond was on the field, who also played for our Outdoor Lancers. And there's all kinds of guys out there. But right now we got Ali Alomari and Conrad, you say it better than I do, Zimowicz. He's they're being scouted by teams pretty heavily, and that's kind of what we're doing this for. So I think we're doing the right thing. I'm not happy the way the Demonhawks operate. That's an M1 team. That's a Brazilian national football national team playing at this level. It's like if the Amerks advance and then they got to play the Sabres at the finals. It's like, you know what I mean? It doesn't make sense, but, you know, that's hopefully will change in the future. But, you know, I'm happy for our guys. They you know, played with all their heart last night, and they played all their heart all weekend.
Joe?
Sam, the future, it's certainly in your hands as far as soccer is concerned, because you are the purveyor of soccer in Rochester. So what do you foresee for the new season, and what do you got to say about, you know, the league and this back-to-back game, and will it change? Who's gonna do what? Can you comment on that?
Yeah, sure. I sent the league guys an email this morning. Chris is my good friend, probably one of my best friends. I think the final should be a Final Four, not a Final Eight or whatever it was. And you have to have a little break between. But I think if you have, you know, Team 1 plays Team 4 and Team 2 plays 3, and then there's just a final game and a third-place game, keep it simple like it's supposed to be. And you got to figure out a way to not allow teams to do what the Demonhawks do. I mean, you know, this is supposed to be a league to develop future talent or for guys that left the sport that want to come back and help out and help build a team. In our case, you know, we have Darren Toby doing that. Obviously, Domenico came back to help out Jake. You know, and then have two designated players. And our designated players, you know, this year were Jake Schindler, who's also our coach, and Joey Cabernese, who didn't get to play much. And I missed that earlier, talking about injuries. That was a huge blow to us. Because you have to submit your designated players, your two key designated players at the beginning of the year. So we went with Joey and Jake, thinking that they may go up and down to M1. But, you know, Hoxie retired because of a bad hip. And unfortunately, by game three, that bad hip did reoccur. But, the league is amazing. I think it could be the future of indoor soccer. It's more realistic. We need a building. We're looking. We're talking RIT right now. They're redoing Ritter Arena. We may be moving there if it happens in a few years. If not, you know, we hope that maybe we could TSC figures out a way to allow us to bring in some more seating. Because, you know, we're maxed out, and people want to see the game. And I got so many people upset with us that they can't come and see the games live. So we need to find out a solution. There is no other solution. Right now, the Blue Cross Arena, right now, there's some rumors that the Amherst might be leaving. They're not renewing their lease, so we don't know what's going to happen there. But, you know, whatever we do, we're not going to go or we're not going to move unless somebody rolls out the red carpet like TSC has. Andy Galina and Jamie at TSC, you know, basically they roll out the red carpet for us to make us feel welcome. I haven't had that feeling in soccer almost since day one. So, I'm hoping to keep this thing alive for as long as I could go, Joe. But, you know, Joe, everybody's waiting for the solar eclipse today. I wake up in the morning, I want to be able to see light. You know, it's like, and people are waiting for darkness. Like, I don't want no darkness in my life at my age. But that's where we're at right now, man. I love this team. I love the sport. Chris doing a great job. But, you know, little things got to change, and they will.
So, Sam, you mentioned about the Final Four. One of the things that Tris called out is there's going to be at least four new teams next season. So that would bring the total up to 18. So I don't know if four would be enough, but I think you're right about there has to be some separation between the games. It's just not fair to the players to have to play three games in 3 days. It not only for that, but also for the fans. They want to see the best possible soccer with the best talent, and if players are injured and can't play, then that sort of defeats the purpose. But that's something that'll be talked about, I'm sure, in the off season. I didn't want to bring up RIT, but since you brought it up, what is the, and you mentioned about the Ritter, that they're doing some work on it right now to make it a potential a place to hold indoor soccer. It's the old ice arena, for those of you who don't know. Now the RIT Hockey, who went to the NCAAs, they play in the Gene Polisani Center, which holds like 4,000 plus people. It's a beautiful building. But the Ritter still holds like 1,500 to 2,000, and they're renovating it. So is it possible that the team could go into that facility, and then you can have, you know, a lot bigger crowds for the games?
It's, you know, I went there, I saw it. It's got a lot of possibility, but it's premature. They didn't really start the construction yet. But, you know, I met with all the key people. I told them, you know, what my plan was and what I would like to do if we did move there. You know, I'm not crazy about certain things right now there. You know, I personally love TSC. I love the simple parking, easy to get to. The field is in my opinion, a perfect size for what we do. I just think we need if we could fit an extra 500 people in the building, I think it would make everything, it'd make me happy and make our fans happy. But that is a possibility, Andrew. And this whole Blue Cross thing, you know, I'm good friends with Jeff Calkins. You know, I'm good friends with Jose Pio, who kind of oversees that district where the Blue Cross Arena is. So, you know, I'm keeping all my options open. You know, my dream would be when I retire someday is to focus on indoor soccer. You know, I own land in Webster that I bought to hopefully build an arena someday. Obviously, because of COVID, the prices got crazy. So, you know, the cost of the arena tripled and quadrupled. So that's not going to be realistic anymore. But RIT is a strong possibility. Moving back to Blue Cross Arena is a possibility, or maybe adding more seating at TSC is a possibility. But we're going to be around. We're going to make this fun. We're going to start grooming the next generation of family members to help us run this organization so Kayla and I can take a little step back and be at the games, just enjoying them with a bucket of popcorn. Maybe I get to sit with you, Andrew, one of the games, and you and Mark Sotilli and hang out.
It sounds good to me. I just want to have some protection from flying indoor soccer balls. Thank goodness for Mark. He's one who's stopped a couple of them from hitting me in the face. So, but anyway, Sam, thank you for all you do for Sir Soccer in Rochester and all, not just soccer, all sports. I know that Salvatore supports many different sports. I guess I would be remiss if I didn't ask. Chris DeConomides brought up also that there may be a possibility of Salvatore's going into a third state. Is that something that you're working on right now?
We signed a deal with a former, a current Rochester guy, Vince Petrone. He's going into Carolina with his son, and we are really close with a former partner of Enzo Scolo, or employee of Enzo Scolo, I should say, who moved his insurance company to Dallas, and we're really close there too. So we are going national, and we hope to bring that money back to Rochester and give more to Breast Cancer Coalition, support local teams, support your show. If we haven't renewed, I heard you guys talk about it earlier. We're renewing. If you need to double the price, Kalo, get over it. Don't worry about it. Double the price, whatever you got to do. But, you know, really quick, and I know you guys got to go, but Admiral, the brand that the Lancers have been with since 1967, basically is doing a national push, an international push of Admiral, and they're going to feature the Rochester Lancers as part of the push, including Carlos Medetieri. He's representing the early Lancers. Doug Miller's representing Jake Schindler. The two Lady Lancers, Brooke and Alexa, are going to represent former Lady Lancers. Elliot Fowski, the Mohican Warrior, is going to represent. Marcelo Marrera, goalkeeper extraordinaire for Lancers, is going to represent. So they are going to do a photo shoot here in Rochester, New York. They're bringing in the same production crew that did the Messi launch, Lionel Messi, the same exact crew. We talked to them. They're going to come to Rochester, New York for 3 days and do pictures, videos of all things Rochester-related with the new Admiral look of the Lancers for next year. So this, it's a huge thing for us. I'm so excited they picked us to do this. And, again, thanks to Joe Sirianni and the original founders of the Lancers for giving me a chance to keep this baby going.
Joe, you better be involved in that. I got to get you on national television again.
Oh, my God. That would be an ultimate. But anyway, Sam, before I let you go, how's the pizzeria in Florida doing in Jacksonville?
Very good. So you know, we open up thinking it's going to take a while. For 2 weeks, we had people coming in from Rochester that were based in Florida now. They came from Rochester. What I overlooked is our original stores, Main Street and Dewey and Mount Reed, they were supplying Kodak, Xerox, Bosch Alam, GM, Delco, all these big companies for years and years at lunchtime. And now a lot of those people retired and moved to Florida. And I think the same, we're going to have the same reaction in Carolina. I think our brand was already known. So he's killing it since day one. You know, based on our sales of our company, he's in the middle of the road and he just opened up in a different state. So it's crazy. But, you know, so he's doing great. He's happy with it. The people there love it. And, you know, we went with a simpler, easier to operate menu, which could help him open more locations. And Dr. Formoso, his nephew is Chuck Formoso, Italian American Sports Club member and owner of Ristorante Lucano. Chuck introduced me to Dr. Formoso. He's going to open up 10 stores in 5 years, and we'll see what happens, man. But, you know, it wasn't intended. That was not my intent to do this. I did everything I could to discourage people to do this, but we'll see what happens.
Oh, that's great. My compliment to you. I mean, you are an entrepreneur, and I admire you and I love you.
Well, Joe, I love you too, and thank God we got to see the light today, not the dark, you and I, baby. That's all I got to say.
That's what's thanks, important. Sam, thanks so much. And personally, thank the people. Having you talk to them at the East Rochester location, they supplied the pizza for the Lancers matches, and I had some after every game. It was absolutely delicious. And you got cheese pizza for Lent. I'm very happy about that.
Yes.
Now you guys are making me hungry, and I want some pizza.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
Soccer Sam Fantuzzo, the one and only on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Back with international news and notes next on WYSL and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
The world seems to shine like you've had too much wine. That's amore.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé. Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Are you looking for a new dentist for your family? Dr. David Olivo has been caring for Rochester's dental needs for over 20 years and would welcome the opportunity to serve you. To make an appointment, call 328-3382. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Kusha Kush, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Are you looking to update the kitchen, bath, or flooring in your home, but don't know where to begin? Whether it's cabinetry, carpeting, hardwood flooring, tile, or kitchen and bathroom remodeling, Claridge Design Center in Chi-Lai Fall Plaza is the place to start. Claridge custom designs and builds quality remodeling projects throughout Rochester and Monroe County. At Claridge, the visions and ideas you have for your home are developed with the experienced Claridge designers to make your dream project a reality. And the quality of service you receive at Claridge is second to none. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call Claridge at 889-5800 or visit their website to meet the Claridge team. See examples of their finished work at ClarageDesignCenter.com.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. WISL AM 1040 and FM 92.1 and 95.5 West.
Here comes the sun and I say it's all right.
Hey, let the Beatles sing there a bit. That was an appropriate eclipse song for when the moon moved away from the sun. So thank you to John Paul, George, and Ringo. This is Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti and Joe Redcard Sirianni. Time for International Report, brought to you by our title sponsor, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, 2005 Lyle Avenue in Gates. Number to call is 328-3382. And the website is davidolivodmd.com. The office is open Monday through Thursday, 8 to 5. I'll be going to see Dr. Olivo in a few weeks, getting my semi-annual teeth cleaning, and hopefully everything will be ship-shape, and I can have another appointment later in the year.
I'm going to him Tuesday.
You can give us a live report, or not a live, you can give us a wrap-up report, Joe, on everything, yeah. How everything went. So today, in international soccer, Udinese hosted Inter, and Inter won again, 2-1 over Udinese. It was Calhanoglu and Fratesi with the two goals. So Inter is actually won. The second goal was scored in the 95th minute. So Inter is very well in command of Serie A. It'll take them a few more weeks to clinch, but
he's got the they've had a points. Great season.
Yep, absolutely. So Juve won again, Joe. How about that? To beat Fiorentina 1-0.
Well, can I just comment on it? The first half was, I watched the game. The first half was good. The second half, they were completely out of the game. I was worried that they were, you know, that they were going to lose. And believe me, Fiorentina took it to them. That's all they can Juventus do, defend on the half of their field. It came close. You know, they got unlucky because they had two goals. They got they're offside, but they don't look. There is something wrong with their team, and there is something wrong with the change that the coach made. And you know, so I don't know what's going on. But in any event,
they're still in third place, and they'll likely make the Champions League. So that's all. That's what's important right now. They're a little bit behind Milan. Milan won again, 3-0 over Lecce, and Christian Pulisic added to his goal scoring total. He has 13 goals now in the season.
He's playing fantastic.
He is. And again, as I've said, I hate to see him leave Chelsea, but I'm very happy he's doing so well. And that sets up, I'm more concerned about him, how he plays for the U.S., and especially with the Copa America coming up this summer here in the United States. I want him to be at top form, and he's right now on top form. So.
The other guy that's doing very well is McKennie with Juventus.
Yes.
He is really playing very well. And Weah, to my knowledge, is not performing the way they were expecting him to do. But
they've got him playing in the back, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, hey, he's still playing for one of the top teams in the world and playing against tough competition. So that's what's important. Roma beat Lazio in the Rome Derby, so they're getting close to a Champions League spot. They're still behind Bologna, but they're looking pretty good. So, fortunately, our good friend Mr. Zero Dick Howard is probably pounding on something as of today. Everton was docked two more points for breaching the Premier League's profit and sustainability rules, so they're now just 2 points above the drop zone, and they have not been relegated since 1905, but that is now in serious jeopardy. And next game for Chelsea is going to be against Everton on Monday. So, you know, I guess part of me doesn't want Everton to get dropped, but I don't want Chelsea to lose either. It's a tough one. But Arsenal's back on top. It's really, again, the only league in Europe where the major league is in Europe that has any kind of title race. The other leagues are pretty much done. You've got, we'll talk about Leverkusen in a second. Real Madrid's ahead in France, in Spain, and PSG's well ahead in France. PSV's ahead in Holland. But Arsenal is tied with Liverpool. Arsenal beat Brighton 3-0 away, and Liverpool would only draw at Manchester United 2-2. So Arsenal has 71 points. They're 9 goals to the positive on goal difference. Manchester City just 1 point behind on 70. They won away 4-2 to Crystal Palace. All three of those teams will play at home this weekend, so they'll be looking for victories. And Tottenham Hotspur is now in fourth place over Aston Villa, who's been there pretty much the whole season. But again, it's only on goal difference. So it's a very exciting race in England right now. It could go all the way down to the wire with three teams, and it's going to be very interesting to see how that works out. But Bayer Leverkusen, what an unbelievable story. 41 matches unbeaten, and that is 7 short of the all-time record in Europe held by Benfica from 1963 to 1965. And if they win on Sunday against Werder Bremen, or if Bayern Munich loses to Cologne, they'll win their first Bundesliga championship. And the game will be Sunday at 11:30 at home in Leverkusen. That's one to watch. That'll be some celebration if they win this. They also have a big match, though, this week in the Europa League. And, again, the Europa League, I think, is more exciting than the Champions League this year. You've got the matches will be on Thursday. It's the first leg of the quarterfinals. You've got Milan against Roma. And we have two Italian teams playing in a competition like this. That's going to be magnificent. Atalanta has got to play Liverpool. Leverkusen will play West Ham of London, East London, and Benfica against Marseille. So those will be some great matches. And then the Champions League, Arsenal against Bayern Munich on Tuesday, Real Madrid against Manchester City. And an interesting story, Joe, I want to get your comment on. Real Madrid wants to close their roof at the Bernabeu, which they just installed recently during the renovations. They want to have a louder atmosphere for the match, and they're appealing to UEFA to do that. What do you think about that? I think they should do it. I mean, they're the home team. They should be able to do what they want.
I believe that they should be a good addition, you know, to play the game because they have a roof and they don't have to contend with the climate. So there would be a plus. And besides that, if they're looking for, if they're looking for having a larger crowd, I mean, the voice of the crowd to inside the game, I think it's a good idea.
It's 85,000 they're expecting. That's a big, big game. I mean, they've played the last two seasons in the Champions League, and they've been incredible ties. Wednesday, Atletico Madrid will play Dortmund, and PSG will play Barcelona. So three teams from Spain. You got two teams from England and two teams from Germany, and then the one team, PSG, from France. The last thing I want to bring up, I mentioned this last week, about Fenerbahce, who are considering leaving the Turkish Super League for many reasons, including their players being attacked by opposition teams. An incredible situation. And again, we're going to get Bob Turgut on the show soon to talk this through. But Fenerbahce had a Turkish Super Cup match this weekend against Galatasaray, who played right here in Rochester in 1997 against the Rhinos. Yeah. They put their U19 team out there instead of their regular team, because these are teams that are actually fighting for the Turkish championship. They're way ahead of all their other opposition. They put their under-19 team out there. Galatasaray scored in the first minute, and then Fenerbahce walked off the pitch and forfeited the match because they're fighting. They had more people in the stands for this vote they were going to have last Tuesday. They had like 50,000 people in the stands, and eventually what they decided is they postponed the actual decision for 3 months. So they don't know what's going to happen yet, but
why would they do that? I mean, what would they put their under-20 team under to play?
They did to protest the situation that they've been attacked. They've had fans attacked. They've had referees attacked. They've had their own players. Fans came out of the stands, opposing fans, and attacked their players. And that's ridiculous. I mean, and they're saying that their players and their staff are not being protected by the Turkish police because the police are getting attacked too. So it's just Turkish soccer is very, very passionate, and there's a lot of rivalries in the Turkish league. So again, we're going to try to get Bob Turgut, who's the expert on Turkish soccer. We'll try to get him on very soon to explain this whole situation because this is unprecedented.
That'd be great.
That they could drop, they could actually vote to, I don't know if they would disband their team or if they would, I think they would probably disband their men's team. And then this is one of the great teams in Turkey who have won, you know, many championships over the years. So just craziness, I tell you.
Soccer doesn't supposed to be a game where you go on the field and you got to worry about getting attacked and losing your life there.
It never happened before.
It really never happened before, so I don't know why it's so violent right now.
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't remember. I don't remember anything like this happened before. Do you?
Well, I know the local derbies, like Celtic and Rangers, played this weekend. That's maybe the most passionate, violent derby there is in all of soccer. And so they played, but there was no incidents. Everything was okay, as far as I know. You know, and Roma and Lazio too. I mean, when those two teams play, it's crazy. But for many reasons, for the background of the two teams. But anyway, let's take our. We'll have more new international news next week. We're going to come back with Chris Economides, the commissioner of the MASL2, as we're burning the ring of fire on Soccer Is the Kick in the Grass on WYSL and live on the web at socceristhekickinthegrass.com.
And it makes a fiery ring. I fell into a ring of fire.
Your local sports leader. WYSL. AM 1040 Avon Rochester. FM 92.1 W221 CL Rochester. FM 95.5 W238 DE Spencerport.
An experienced professional with more than 20 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cooja Cooj, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline, 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me, salvatores.com.
Your family is growing, and it's time for a new home. Why buy a used house with someone else's style when you can afford a new Faber home, built to suit your taste and your needs? Start fresh, build new with Faber. Faber Homes can customize your home to meet your wishes and dreams. Visit the Faber Homes website at faberhomes.com and find the plan of your dreams or a quick deliver home. Give Faber Homes a call today at 247-4800 or visit faberhomes.com for our current incentives. Faber Homes, great homes, great price.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. WISL AM 1040 and FM 92.1 and 95.5 West.
Sunshine, go away today. I don't feel much like dancing.
Another good Eclipse song. So I know we mentioned this one. This is Jonathan Edwards and Sunshine from the early 70s. And Sunshine certainly did go away for rain shows all day today here in Rochester. Of course, as soon as the eclipse was over, the sun came out. Figures. Welcome back to the show. It's Andrew Battisti and Joe Redcard Sirianni. We're now joined by the commissioner of MASL2, who was in Wichita all weekend for the playoff festivities, Chris Economides. And Chris's appearance brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria. Soon to be 35 locations across Rochester and Jacksonville, Florida. One number to call, 234-5555, or visit salvatores.com. Chris, welcome back to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, Andrew. Great. It's great to be back on.
Joe's with us, too, tonight.
How are you, Chris?
Hey, Joe. Good to hear from you, my friend.
Thank you for being our guest tonight.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Chris, we heard you numerous times throughout the playoffs over the weekend on the broadcast, and certainly I think a big success. What were your thoughts on how things went for the weekend, Thursday through Sunday?
Well, I mean, I think overall it was a really good playoff. Blake Schumacher and the Wichita Wings were great hosts. A very nice venue in Hartman Arena there in Park City, Kansas. We had some fantastic games. I think Saturday, the two semifinals were, you know, and especially the Lancers Wichita Wings games was, you know, it was just an incredible game. you know, even the other semifinal between Iowa and Amarillo. Amarillo fell behind 4-0 within the first 3 minutes, but after that, I thought it was, you know, they came back within a goal. And but all in all, I thought it was a great weekend, and, you know, ultimately the best team won.
Well, Chris, I just wanted to ask you, you know, why back-to-back game, you know, that the Lens had to play, you know, play, the player not even had the opportunity to recover. Why was the schedule so done like this?
Well, I mean, obviously it's a it's a cost-cutting measure. You know, I mean, ultimately the owners and the teams vote how many teams make the playoffs, what the format is, you know, and that's what we had voted upon. And to be honest with you, I think, you know, that Wichita-Rochester game took a lot, you know, obviously out of both teams, but I think if there was a big, you know, the biggest impact on the final was the fact that Rochester was just so beaten up. I mean, both teams, after that game was, I mean, it was one of the best games I've ever seen, indoor, outdoor, whatever. But, I mean, that's how they want to do the playoffs this year. As, again, you know, we're there to serve the teams and the ownerships. So if they want to change the format next year, which, I mean, I would recommend. But again, I mean, it comes down to cost-saving measures. You know, they didn't want to do this year where it's a home and away and it's time off. So, you know, but we're evolving as a league. And if the teams want to change the format next year, so be it.
Chris, you make a good point. Go ahead, Joe.
What would be your recommendation? Because you've been in soccer for all those years, and you know that you got to have a certain amount of time for the player to recover. And, you know.
Well, I mean, my recommendation, you know, but it would be obviously to do something similar, you know, what the M1 does. You know, but, you know, it's, I'm not spending the money, you know. You know, I mean, I like to see home and away where each team gets, you know, something similar to what M1 does. But again, I mean, we play less games, you know, our budgets are significantly lower than what M1 is. And, you know, I mean, if teams want to do that, well, you know what, maybe you just have a Final Four weekend, you know, where it's, you know, 1-4-2-3, you play the semifinals on a Friday and then the finals on a Sunday. But again, you know, it's when it's all said and done, Joe, it's a business, and it's got to make sense financially. You know, it's got to make sense geographically. I'm sure that it wasn't cheap for the Lancers to, you know, to fly to Wichita and, you know, be there for, you know, for 4 days. So, you know, I mean, that's why we have the meeting. That's why, you know, all the teams have a voice, and whatever general consensus they come up with, that's what we do.
Chris, you made a good point about Wichita. I mean, they actually lost the third place game to Amarillo, a team that they had beaten earlier this year. So, I mean, they were beaten up too. They had some players. I think 7 players they were down, if I remember the commentary on that. So that's,
yeah, I mean, look,
impacted,
I mean, Joe,
Andrew,
I went through a lot. I mean, we spent some time, obviously, after the games, you know, talking to the teams, and, you know, I mean, I saw Jake and the Rochester guys after the game. I mean, they were, you know, ice bags, and, you know, even pregame yesterday, you know, guys like Tanner Bay and, you know, Andrew Hoxie, I mean, these guys were just beaten up, you know. So, you know, Rochester had 5 or 6 guys down. I mean, one thing that I will mention, again, just my personal opinion, I think all these consolation games make absolutely no sense. Yeah, I mean, they lost the consolation game, but, you know, every athlete that's there, I mean, they have one thing in mind, and that's to win a championship. I mean, once that possibility goes away, I think these consolation games are an absolute waste of time.
That's
one thing that I will recommend to the teams next year is, you know, none of these you know, with all due respect, meaningless consolation games.
Yeah, another thing, Chris, I know it was there was one other mark on the playoffs that wasn't so good, but I want to mention it. El Paso decided to forfeit instead of playing in the playoffs. And a number of people were online saying, why didn't they just drive to to Wichita? And I don't know how far the drive is to Wichita from El Paso, but, I mean, they had a great season. They were their first year in the league. They finished in second place in the Midwest Division, but for whatever reason, they decided not to compete in the playoffs. So, I mean, obviously that's something that, that you'd want to avoid have happening in the future.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I mean, that is a black eye for the league. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that they just didn't show up. And they certainly will not be part of any league that I'm associated with. So, I mean, I can tell you right now that they're not in our plans for next year. You know, just as fortunate as we've been with certain ownership groups, and I think the league's headed in the right direction, you know, sometimes, you know, you make a mistake and you allow teams in that really shouldn't be in. And that's been the age-old problem, you know, with, you know, with minor league sports, with, you know, soccer in general. And, you know, I made a miscalculation on the quality of the ownership group going in. And, yeah, they finished the season. They had a good team. And, you know, I spoke to the ownership group, you know, 3 days because I had some concerns. And, you know, I made the call to allow them to come, and then they just don't show up. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, you have situations like that. It's certainly not something that we had planned for. We had no idea what was going on. You know, they didn't even have the common decency to call and tell us. We had to find out through a, you know, through a third party. So, but, you know, I think other than that, everything else was great. You know, everybody showed up. Let's be honest. It's an expensive trip to go out there. You know, to the team's credit, you know, they all came out there and competed. But I mean, let's be honest. I think this year was a 3 or 4 team race. Realistically, you know, anything can happen in a situation in a 1-game playoff. You know, the teams gave it their all. But you know, to be honest, you know, the 4 teams that were in the semifinals were the 4 teams that I expected would be there. But, yeah, I mean, the whole El Paso situation was unfortunate, but rest assured that, you know, they're not in our league anymore. And, you know, it's sad for their players, but, you know, these things happen.
Yes, they do. And then there were many teams in the A-League and the USL in the early days that were one and dones. And, you know, it's just the way soccer is, unfortunately, in this in the United States and Canada. But I know there's going to be changes for next year. You mentioned on the broadcast we've got 4 teams coming in for sure, Santa Fe in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Spice City, which is the Newtown Pride that won the TST championship, and we coached by former Rhino Anoa Obasi. So that's going to be coming. And I know you mentioned also on the broadcast, do you like to see interconference or interdivision play next year, if possible? Just maybe have some of the better teams play each other. Do you think that's a possibility?
Well, you know, I can talk about that, Andy, but again, it's not my money. You know, there's some varying opinions about that. You know, I personally would like to see it. But again, I mean, when it's all said and done, it's a business. You know, there's income and expense. So whatever the teams want to do, whether if they want to play more games, even the same amount of games, if they want to just stay within the divisions. And now, again, you saw Iowa running away with it in their division. The Lancers running away with it in their division. Wichita running away with it in their division. You know, we had a lot of first-year clubs this year that are going to catch up on the field, you know, next year. But again, that's all up to the teams. You know, whether we, you know, have some, I mean, I personally want to see it, but you know, you have other teams that really don't care who they play at home. You know, they say it really doesn't matter whether you're playing the same team over and over again. You know, and you see it in hockey with the Amerks playing, you know, the Syracuse Crunch, whatever it is, 12, 16 times, playing Utica. So, yeah, I mean, I can talk magnanimously and say, oh, yeah, I like that. But, again, I mean, I'm not putting my money into it and covering the cost of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So
it's all a question. It's all about
ahead,
money
Joe.
At the end of the day, and how much the people, the ownership, wants spend in order to keep the team going.
Yeah, you know, Joe. I mean, as I said, you know, it's there's different philosophical views. You know, you have teams that, you know, all they care about is, you know, winning the championship, you know, and, you know, the Demonhawks did that this year. You know, I'm sure, I mean, Byron Fowles, Demonhawks, good friend, good organization, and obviously that was their goal, and, you know, they succeeded in their goal, you know. On the other hand, you know, you've got teams that want it as a business, which is, you know, how I feel, you know, things should be run. You know, put more effort into your front office. Put more effort into, you know, your off the field product than your on the field product. You know, and I think, you know, Blake does that in Wichita. You know, you see some of the other teams that really, you know, draw better and focus on that. But, you know, I mean, look at the league is growing, and I believe the league is growing because the M2 model works. You know, I mean, you've got X amount of games, you got X amount of expenses, you know, that you're smart, you need to stay within. And what I tell people that call with an expansion inquiry is, look, it's going to cost you X amount of money to operate this thing. If you can't generate, you know, that X amount of money, which is doable, you know, then unless you're looking for a tax write-off, or unless you're just, you know, want to, you know, you have the eagle the size of Montana, then don't do it.
A lot of owners do have the eagle the size of Montana.
Well, you know, I mean, look, I mean, we're not the NFL, we're not the NBA, we're not Major League Baseball, the National Hockey League, you know, but people still, you know, it's an affordable exercise. But, you know, but again, it, coming back to it countless times as I have tonight, you know, it's a business. You know, you don't open a restaurant to go in there and lose X amount of money. You know, you don't open up a whatever to go in and say, you know what, hey, if I only lose $100,000, that's great. No, you open a business to try and be profitable, and, you know, it takes time. But you got to have that business sense where, you know what, I have to generate X amount of revenue. I have to cut my expenses at a certain point. So anyways, we're getting off topic here, but
yeah,
I'm just...
Oh, Chris, we're going to get Michael Lewis on. So
okay.
Thank you so much for being on the show, and congratulations on a great season. It was great to be a part of it, and look forward to next year.
Well, thanks. That is always a pleasure to be on, and hopefully we'll talk soon again. Thank you again.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Chris Conomini is the commissioner of the MASL2. Coming back next with Michael Lewis and the U.S. Soccer Report on WYSL and live on the web at socceristhekickinthegrass.com.
Heavy cloud, but no rain.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé. Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
An experienced professional with more than 20 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328 328-
3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Let's face it, sometimes local is just better. Locally grown, locally sourced. Shop local. At Allstate, Agent Vincenzo Scalo is just that, a local. Allstate. Are you in good hands?
Call Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo, 381-3530, and see how much you can save. Two locations, 835 Fairport Road in East Rochester and 919 Winton Road South in Rochester.
Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. WISL AM 1040 and FM 92.1 and 95.5 West.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. It's the U.S. Soccer Report with the editor of FrontRowSoccer.com, former Rochester Lancers reporter and a 2012 inductee into the Lancers Wall of Fame, Michael Lewis.
Bob, it's all in the mix with Bob D'Angelo, our great producer. Michael's appearance tonight brought to you by Flower City Union and Flower City 1872. You can get your 2024 season memberships. They're on sale at flowercityunion.com. And thanks to Jimmy Paola, the owner of the clubs, for sponsoring our show once again this coming season. So thanks very much, Jimmy. Appreciate it. Michael, good evening. Sorry we're shorting you, but we had a lot of things with Sam and Chris Kanamides.
No problem. Fire away.
Let's talk about the U.S. women and talk about the U.S. Soccer Center. So U.S. beat Japan by a score 2-1 after giving up a goal in the first 31 seconds. And they'll be playing Canada tomorrow in final at 7 p.m. at lower.com field in Columbus. Big news, I think, was the attendance. Over 50,000 people attended the match. I believe they said that was the largest crowd to watch the U.S. women since the 99 World Cup final.
That is correct. That is correct. And the largest friendly non-World Cup game that the U.S. women have participated in the United States. So great resiliency by the U.S. It's easy to get down here, giving up such an early goal, but that bodes well for the future on their focus and concentration in a match.
Jaden Shaw, what a start for her. She's very young. She plays for the San Diego Wave. She had her fifth goal in five games, and I believe that she's the first person to do that and score five straight games like this or something along those lines. But she's certainly going to be a player to watch for the upcoming Olympics.
Well, yeah, definitely. You know, you want players to start getting into form now. Obviously, she is in form. Given what happened last year to Mallory Swanson before the Women's World Cup when she got injured. Maybe you want to wrap Jaden Shaw in some bubble wrap beforehand so nothing bad happens to her. But she is on a roll at the moment, no doubt about it.
Joe, you better let U.S. soccer know you're available with the magic spray.
I'm willing.
Well, Michael, fortunately, that's all the time we have for tonight. We'll give you a lot more time next week to talk about the CONCACAF Champions League and the MLS with the Red Bulls in first place right now and all of that. But thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Have a good one.
Thank you, Mike. Sorry.
Michael Lewis on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Thanks to Michael. Thanks, of course, to Chris Economides and Soccer Sam and Kayla Clark-Kent-Marrera and all the Lancer players who were part of our show this past season. Look forward to having them on the show again in the 2025 edition of the MASL 2. You can get your season tickets for the Lancers by going to rlancers.com. And get your season tickets for Flower City Union and Flower City 1872. They'll start up in May at the Downtown Soccer Stadium. FlowerCityUnion.com is the website to go to. This has been Andrew Battisti with Joe Suriani and Bob D'Angelo at WYSL. Be with us next Monday at 6:30 for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass here on WYSL and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
When I'm upset.
Good night, everybody.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry and brought to you by the following sponsors, Flower City Union and Flower City 1872, the Rochester Lancers, top-notch monogramming,
Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Polano and Company, Italian American Sports Club of Rochester, Opera Bracelets, Favor Builders and Claridge Decorating Center, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Pet Mom Jewelry, and St. Padre Pio Chapel. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.